Okay, does anyone object if we begin?
Nope.
Okay, I don't know if it's 8:59 or 9:01, but we'll give it a run. Okay, my name is Richard Burke, and I declare this meeting of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to be called to order. The first item is comments from the chair. First thing I will say is we're going to jump around in the agenda a little bit today for the convenience of the people who are here. After consent agenda, we'll go to item number 10. And after item number 10, because of some of the folks that are here, we'll go into executive session. I've got a list of people that want to represent themselves, so we'll hop around for their convenience as best we can, go through the executive session, and then resume back at our meeting. So that's my proposal, unless there's objection from any of the other commissioners. Okay, next thing is with respect to comments of the chair. Some of you know the work that I do, training grassroots activists around the state, and as I've done that, I've had a lot of opportunities to talk about Oregon ethics laws, the Ethics Commission, and there are, I think, a lot of opportunities out there in the community to provide ethics training beyond public officials and lobbyists. And so I would like to encourage all of the commissioners to use whatever opportunities they may have, speaking in front of service clubs, civic groups, or other organizations, to sort of evangelize OGEC a little bit and refer any questions to staff with respect to training. So those are my comments. Do any other commissioners have anything to add for the good of the order before we begin? Okay. With that, we'll go to approval of minutes of the March 7th, 2019 commission meeting. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
Okay. Move approval.
Okay, move approval. No second is necessary. Unless there's objection, we'll approve the minutes. Okay. The minutes are approved. So we'll go into the consent calendar. Are there any items in the consent calendar that people would like to remove from discussion?
Chair, I don't want to move any. But I just want to make a comment. The last meeting you might have saw where we had the statement for economic interest dismissals off the consent calendar, and what these were was people that had filed, you folks had asked to kind of get them their letters of education without finding a violation, and so I have now included those in the consent calendar. So items 5 through 8, you will see that those are people for those statement of economic dismissals.
I would like to pull number 4 off the consent agenda to discuss separately. Paul Daniels. Are there any other items that people would like to remove from the consent agenda? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
So moved.
Okay. I believe a second is called for.
No.
No? Okay, very well. Okay, so without objection, the consent agenda is adopted. Okay, so now we will go to item number 10, 14-191EDT, the matter of Ms. Sylvia Hayes.
Richard,
you pulled number 4.
Oh, I thought we'd get back to that after we pop around. But
Yeah.
So that puts us at item number 10. And so just in the staff report.
We're going to call Mr. Ewing then.
Chair?
Yeah.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, are we on agenda 10?
Okay. Yes, we are on agenda 10.
Okay. Sylvia Hayes was First Lady and unpaid policy advisor to the Governor of Oregon on issues of clean energy, ocean health, and a clean economy from January 2011 to February 2015. During the same period, Ms. Hayes and her private for-profit consulting business received contracts to advocate, write, and speak on these same issues. By not separating her public work as First Lady and policy advisor from her paid consulting work, Ms. Hayes violated the ethics laws by using her official position to solicit and secure funding for these private contracts and availing herself of the resources and staff of the Governor's Office and other state agencies to fulfill the contracts. On January 5, 2018, the Commission made preliminary findings that Ms. Hayes' actions constituted 16 violations of the prohibited use of office provision, 5 violations of the conflict of interest provision, and 1 violation of the gift limit statute. A settlement order was on the agenda at the commission's last meeting, but the commissioners did not approve that settlement. After further negotiations as to language and amount, a settlement order was proposed and accepted by Ms. Hayes with a civil penalty of $50,000. Although Ms. Hayes does not agree with all the commission's contentions, she does wish to conclude this case and does not contest the ultimate violations in the order. Ms. Hayes signed the stipulated final order, which is in the meeting book for the commission's consideration. And Ms. Hayes is here today with her attorney, Josh Ewing.
Okay, and before we go to Ms. Hayes and her attorney, are there any questions that commissioners have relating to the staff report just outlined? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hayes, for being here today. Is there anything that you or your attorney would like to say regarding the matter?
Well, commissioners, I just do appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I appreciate all the effort that you have put into this case.
Okay, very well. Would you like to say anything?
Briefly, sure. Josh Ewing, we all met last time. I'm here on behalf of Ms. Hayes. In terms of how where we moved from last time to here, we accepted, I believe, all of the suggested changes to the stipulated order, including the word stipulated, and we are here hoping to gain approval from the commission with what we understand of the changes that we understand the commissioners wanted, and we're present here today.
Okay. Very well. Does anyone have any questions of Ms. Hayes or her legal counsel?
Yeah, I'll ask. Thank you, Chair. Mm-hmm. First of all, thank you for coming. I know we were pretty direct in the last commission meeting. Because for me, it was hard to justify rewarding a reduction in the penalty dollar amount when all it was a statement from you. We had some pretty interesting discussions afterwards from different public officials that were at a much lower dollar amount. So I think that was, you know, they were very, you know, if this was the largest penalty in Oregon Government Ethics Commission history, I don't think that we were going to reduce that without, having, you know, some kind of dialogue back and forth. So I definitely appreciate you coming today. My question. Really, there was a contention of whether you were a public official, which was understandable, you know, from when you read through the investigative report. I read the investigative report, and I felt that you were actually more of, you know, a super lobbyist than an actual public official based on what you were doing with regards to educating, storytelling, and a lot of the things that came out in that report. My question is when was it that you came to the conclusion, you know, or the accepting that you were a public official after, you know, questioning whether you were for several years?
I appreciate the question. And I do want to say that I really genuinely did not mean disrespect by not appearing. I've been trying to navigate what has been a pretty extraordinary situation and media climate, and so I offer apology if you felt offended by that. One of the things that, if I could go back and undo it, would be an initial set of legal guidance, not by the team that has represented me through this, that urged to take that position that I was not a public official. That has plagued me throughout this entire 4.5 year process. I did not want to do it. I had tried to serve or to behave under the guidelines of a public official.
Thank you for that. I'm up for supporting this agreement. I think, you know, this has been a long process. I come from Roseburg. You know, when I was in high school, Governor Kisshoffer spoke at my high school graduation because he had, was elected the night in 1978, when one of the girls that I went to high school with was born, and her dad at the time said, you know, hey, he was working at emergency room doctor in Roseburg, said, if you're still in public office, I'd hope you'd speak at my daughter's graduation. And 18 years later, class of 70 kids, he did. So he, I mean, Kid Topper was always a revered figure, you know, in my area. So, you know, this is obviously, you know, personally, always been a disappointing chapter. I think we're all ready for it to be gone. And I always thought that, you know, based on what took place with your role, that was a much, and knowing that his legacy would be negatively impacted, that was a much greater weight for you personally, probably than any fine or penalty that this commission, you know, could ever give. So appreciate you coming in person and your work today. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Mason. Do any other commissioners have a question for Ms. Hayes or her legal counsel?
Thank you, Ms. Hayes, for being here. I have a couple questions. As Commissioner Mason mentioned, one of the things that we felt last time as a group was that it was difficult to justify substantially reducing the fine that the law requires, or at least provides for, without some acknowledgement by you of what the issue was and what the violation of the ethics laws were. And although I'm glad you're here, I still would like to hear, because if we're going to reduce a fine, this is still a substantial reduction. Our twin missions are education as well as compliance. And I still don't feel like we have heard the part that makes me feel that our education goal has been met. And I'm frankly a little surprised that all you did was introduce yourself rather than speak about the facts here and the ethics laws. So I'm inviting you to do so.
I think I'll start by saying that we are here, and we are here to show respect to the commission and answer questions. And we have made Ms. Hayes available. She has made herself available for precisely these questions. And I will now turn to her.
Yes, I was expecting this question. I would say it's clear that I've blurred the lines between my private paid consulting work and the volunteer contributions I was making to the governor's administration. Inadvertently blurred those lines. And it's also clear that I should have been much more thorough in sorting out how I was going to navigate that role.
Do you have a follow-up, Commissioner Keene?
Well, my other question was something else we discussed last time, and your counsel didn't know how to answer, and perhaps your bankruptcy lawyer is here because you thought that you should perhaps have that bankruptcy lawyer. What is the plan, if we accept this settlement, what is the plan on dealing with this in the bankruptcy?
My bankruptcy attorney is not here. That is a different part of this process. And it's my understanding that the fine is dischargeable under bankruptcy.
Meaning that you're planning on not paying it in bankruptcy?
Commissioner Keene, I think that there are a couple things going on here with respect to the bankruptcy situation. It was our understanding that neither the state's bankruptcy attorney or our bankruptcy attorney was going to be here, and that that's the commission had already had all of its questions with respect to the bankruptcy answered.
When was that?
That's what was represented to me before this meeting.
Can I just...
Staff person.
Carolyn is here.
I'm sorry?
Carolyn is here.
So, Carolyn Wade of the is here, I guess. But I will tell you, Commissioner, that... what we did was, is we went back and we were trying from our side to ask the questions that you folks had asked us and get the answers on how this fine would be affected by the bankruptcy. And I think that we had a series of questions that we were able to ask the bankruptcy attorney from DOJ and get those answers for you. So Did you want to go down through those, or I'm putting you on the spot, aren't I?
Well, I would rather Carolyn is here that she speak to it than me.
Okay, so the one thing, though, that I'm sorry to disagree with Ms. Hayes is that this is a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, and it is going to require a repayment plan. There has always been the strategy, and I guess Carolyn can disagree with me, but I don't think she will, that this line is inside of that repayment plan. But as we all know in the Chapter 13, that it is not the full amount that is being paid. However, Ms. Hayes will have the obligation. I believe this was a 3-year plan. So for 36 months, she will have to make payments. If she does not make those payments, then our civil penalty is not dischargeable. It's only dischargeable if she completes the plan as laid out by the judge, which we don't know what that is right now. There's been a complexity, I think, since the last meeting and this meeting, is that Ms. Hayes has settled with the Oregonian, which you might remember, they were the one secured creditor in the bankruptcy, and so there's been a settlement, and so they are no longer part of that bankruptcy. But as far as the amounts and things like that, I don't know the exact amount that Ms. Hayes, that would be up to the bankruptcy judge. I know that the bankruptcy court has been asking us for an amount for a little bit of time here. But anyway, so I hope that helps. I mean, it's not the way I understand it, and I say, Carolyn, welcome to disagree with me. I don't think she will, but is that there will be payments made to the commission. So when Ms. Hayes said that it's dischargeable, she is correct. It's dischargeable at the end of the plan, but that's whatever's left over. But it is not dischargeable today, and whatever we put into that plan, there will be payments made against that plan.
And do we have any idea of how much?
Well, I guess Carolyn can talk to that, but that's kind of one of the things I could say with the, my understanding is with the Oregonian actually settling with Ms. Hayes, that they are not inside of that mix anymore, so there's more money in the plan. But I think there's been some disagreements in there as far as Ms. Hayes' assets. But I guess, I don't know, do you want to call Carolyn up? Maybe she could answer.
Does anyone think it's necessary?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Hi. I'm Carolyn Wake. I'm Senior Assistant Attorney General, so I'm representing the commission in the bankruptcy. Some of this is goes to the commission's strategy in the bankruptcy, and I don't know if you want to hear this in executive session or not.
This is an open session.
I think the only question that I wanted to hear was, is there a chance or a good chance that this will, if we agree to this settlement, which is a 50% reduction from what the statute allows for at the least. There's also the statute that allows for the doubling. So it's 50% or 25%, however you might look at it. Is there a chance that this will be fully paid in the bankruptcy?
Mr. Burson explained how a Chapter 13 works exactly. Where we stand in this bankruptcy is I have filed both an objection to the plan that Ms. Hayes is currently suggesting and a motion to dismiss the case because of it was filed in bad faith. And the objection to the plan argues that there is significant equity in her house that should be committed to the plan. Even if that significant equity is committed to the plan, the amount that will be distributed to creditors, including our claim, is about 1% of the debt. And there are cases that say when you're in a Chapter 13 and you're only paying 1% of the debt, that's the equivalent of filing a Chapter 7. And in a Chapter 7, our claim would not be dischargeable. And so my argument to the court is, this is a disguised Chapter 7, and she shouldn't be allowed to be here. And therefore, the court should convert the case to a Chapter 7 or dismiss it. So
in which case, it would not be dischargeable.
Exactly. So that hearing is set for sometime in July.
Thank you.
Okay. In the interest of full disclosure, I did not see Ms. Wade back there because Kathy is in between us, and I should disclose that I know her outside of this context, and we do political work together on occasion. So does anyone else have any questions? Ms. Hazen, retreat? If not, I'd like to sort of step out of the chair for a moment and offer some comments about this. Ms. Hayes, I think that most of us acknowledge that in the work that you've done in the past, you've done it out of strong sincerity in the beliefs and the issues that you care about. This is a very forgiving country, and it's a very forgiving state. And part of the problem, I think, that our commission, if I don't speak for somebody here, please say so, but my perception is that either because of advice from your legal counsel or some other reason, that word strategies and word games have been used to try and duck responsibility, or at least be able to plausibly pass responsibility away from what you have done with respect to Oregon's ethics laws. I don't think that's how you feel based on a comment that you made earlier today with respect to previous legal counsel. And I think that what this board wants is basically a very simple version of I didn't mean to do these, I didn't mean to make these violations, but I made them, it was a mistake, I screwed up, and I'm sorry. Some version of that, I think, is what most of the commissioners here are looking for. And what we've seen persistently is sort of a defensive, build a fort, minimize, you know, exposure, and try not to do that. And we're not out to get you. I think it's fair to say that in terms of our mission, what we do is we want to educate, not just educate you, but educate people that are watching these proceedings. We want to show them that, you know, people sometimes make mistakes. I think all of us have made mistakes of one kind or another, but ethics laws exist. They serve an important function. They're important, and they need to be taken seriously. You know, somewhere in the media, I think we've been called the Chihuahua of enforcement agencies. I don't know if that's true, but we have a duty, just like all other public officials have a duty, just as you had a public responsibilities in your capacity as a public official. And we want to find a way to accomplish our mission. We're not out to get you or to or break you financially or anything like that. We want basically an acknowledgement of responsibility and a show of contrition. And so I would like to, as Commissioner Keene did, invite you to do some version of that now.
If you remember when the federal investigation was dropped, I made a public statement then that did not declare exoneration. I said that even though that had been dropped, which is what I believed was going to be the case given what I knew about the situation, even though that had been dropped, I still had made serious mistakes that had done a lot of damage. And I made that statement then, and I make it now. I have just said I blurred the lines. I didn't mean to. I was not as careful as I needed to be. I did not realize I did not really fully appreciate the position, the situation that I was in, and the care that needed to be taken. I did not know that you all existed, and I was never informed that I could proactively bring my contracts to you. I would gladly have done that. I can't be any more genuine in saying I have taken responsibility for this, privately and publicly. And it has been incredibly frustrating not to be able to have a voice in this because of the complicated situation with the federal investigation and the media scrutiny. So I can't be any more clear about that. I am blown away to be in a situation having my own ethics called into question. And I have a strong support of ethical oversight of government. It's just been one series of rock and hard place positions for me. So, yes, once again, I will say I apologize for the damage done by my mistakes.
Well, with that, I'm willing to support this settlement myself. But with that, I will step back into the position of chair. Are there any other comments or questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion. We'll discuss the motion, and then we'll vote on the motion.
I move we accept the stipulated settlement.
Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Starr that we accept the stipulated agreement. Is there a second?
We don't need a second.
Yeah. So I need a second for this? Okay. So with the motion officially on the floor, I invite additional discussion among the commissioners. Is there any other comment? Okay, seeing no comment, we'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Abstain.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes. 7, with one abstaining.
Okay. Stipulated final order in the case of 14-191 EDT is adopted. Thank you very much, Ms. Hayes. Okay, we will now go to the executive session, as we discussed earlier. Specifically, we will go to item number 37.
Yes.
Is there a recital? Very good. Okay, so all folks who are not staff, commissioners, or media must clear the room.
Make the announcement first, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. And this executive session will be to consider preliminary reviews pursuant to ORS 244.260 sub 4 sub D. And possible own motion preliminary reviews pursuant to ORS 244-260 sub 2 sub D.